Today, we are celebrating the energies of the Aries Solar Festival and Easter and Ramadan. There are so many festivals, spiritually intense festivals, that we are experiencing this weekend. Do you feel it?
Yeah,
I think so. The Aries Festival was yesterday at 11:56 Arizona time, a.m. So we are continuing to experience those energies today and Easter. Easter is always celebrated on the first Sunday following the full moon that occurs on or just after the spring equinox. This year, the spring equinox occurred Sunday, March 20th, quite a while ago. Helena Rourke said, "Let us look forward to the holiday of spirit and heart. We shall keep a strict spiritual fast in order that we may, in complete purity of body and spirit, welcome the eve of Easter, the resurrection of the spirit. Let us aspire in all our thoughts toward this, and many of the dull and difficult things of daily life will be eased, because in our hearts we will accept the unavoidable blows and difficulties as a part of a great probationership and will live in the joy of the coming future." Resurrection is a force in nature. And that's what I'm talking about today, is resurrection. Resurrection is a force in nature. This force overcomes all the limitations of our physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual levels, and eventually directs us, our spirit, to Shambhala, where the will of God is known. It directs our spirit, in other words, to the Father. 2,000 or 3,000 years ago, religions believed that life was eternal, and life does not die after the body passes away. This belief has been kept alive through today. It is a great vision for us to live and actualize in our lives this reality. What does resurrection as a force of nature really mean? If we think about it, we can see that there is a defining force in nature where our divine spark that evolved through the mineral, vegetable, and animal kingdoms forged ahead, eventually building more complicated and fantastic forms and mechanisms. Eventually, the spark arrived in the human kingdom. But it will not stop there. That spark is going to enter into superhuman kingdoms. We are the spark, the real person, the individuality who is an imperishable, invulnerable portion of God, and a drop of bliss, which in spiritual literature is called the Father. We are in our essence a divine spark that is now reflected upon the three worlds of the personality, the reflection of which we call the unfolding human soul. So we will resurrect and enter into the superhuman kingdoms. But how? Through meditation. Isn't that interesting? Meditation is a process that will help the process of resurrection and help us to enter into the super mundane, superhuman kingdoms. Goodwill is another way. Service. And also living a sacrificial life. We are going to expand our consciousness in such a way that our consciousness will include greater spheres of light and beauty. There are people on the planet today who are resurrected. Resurrected means that they conquered their physical, emotional, and mental bodies and all their limitations, and eventually became free people. It is through the reconstruction of our life from material to spiritual that we will be born again. We want to reconstruct our lives out of the substance of our divine heritage, not from the nature of our past mistakes, our darkness, our glamours, and illusions, but out of our divine heritage. For example, a young lady wanted so badly to be a holy person. It was part of her dreams. But it was such a strong desire, no matter what she did, she felt herself to be a holy angel. No matter what she did, she still imagined herself to be a holy angel. Such people are great problems to the world because their glamours and illusions have become the directors of their life. So how do these things happen? Let us say, for example, when you were sick, your mother read some religious stories, some philosophy, and occasionally said to you that in the future you are going to be these things to people. All such moments go into a layer of the person's subconscious, and in the future, when these layers are re-stimulated, the person builds a glamour, and they believe that they are now a holy person. Then they imitate whatever is found in their subconscious that has been recorded that is convincing them that they are so very holy. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, you can see it in various examples. We must not construct our lives out of the substance of glamours and illusions or out of a self-serving attitude, but to let the lives of the great ones be reflected in our hearts, in our thoughts and in our actions. The heart is the path of resurrection. Love, compassion, beauty, joy, freedom. The path that leads us to the cosmic heart of the universe and returns our soul, our spark, to the Father's home. Freedom is the absence of interfering influences that try to control our will and use us against our own interest and against our future well-being. Freedom is one of the four pillars, the four pillars being beauty and joy and truth and freedom, that forms the foundation of the organism of the WMEA. We have the freedom to do and to be whatever we want. The teaching does not suppress people's freedoms. Resurrection means to break your limitations and enter into greater freedom, greater light, greater actualizations in your daily relationships. This is so practical. Resurrection is expansion of consciousness. This is another definition to help us understand, you know, that resurrection is possible. How? Through an expansion or a broadening of our consciousness and being present in larger areas of existence. That's a key note. That's a seed thought, to be present in larger areas of existence. See, we move from our own little wheelhouse, right? Further and further and further out. And that's what it means to be inclusive. Our wheelhouse is exclusive. The inclusive means that we have a consciousness that has the ability to recognize the power of the great ones of hierarchy as a reality, that recognize that the halls of Shambhala is a reality, to recognize that there is a place in space called the cosmic heart. And that actual abode of the cosmic heart is in the area of Orion. So don't stay in your wheelhouse if you want to be resurrected. In the past, I've given some hints about the importance of the times we are in and the value of resurrection that will lead us into the new world. Today, Easter, I want to share some practical ideas about resurrection from the teaching that we can apply in our own lives. We must resurrect our mental body. The greatest trap to our freedom is the mental body. The mental body is very sneaky. That is because our thoughts are so subtle. We think we are observing our thoughts and that we're catching them, but they then slip away. All humanity is stuck now in the mental plane. A few months ago, I came across a book titled Train Your Mind, Change Your Brain. As you know, I've always been interested in the brain, but this book really surprised me. It is a compilation of tests and meetings done with leading brain scientists and the highest level of Buddhist monks and scholars on the way that the brain responds to thinking. If we want a change to happen in our life, the teaching has said over and over again, we need to change the way we think. The teaching has given us meditation, given us visualizations, given us exercises to help us change our life and to be able to see truth. Now, science is showing how this works. Mm-hmm. Helena Roark, in a letter to one of her students, declared, "Humility is ordained to us and is expressed first of all by self-renunciation or the rejection of egoism. This beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, is one of the deepest in meaning. Indeed, in this precept is indicated the need for humility in self-sacrifice, or the absence of conceit and vanity, as well as the renunciation in consciousness and spirit of all greed, possessiveness, and attachment to transitory objects. Precisely this renunciation in one's consciousness," she said, "was emphatically insisted upon by all the great teachers of antiquity. Do you remember the example of the two disciples mentioned in the books of Living Ethics? One had no possessions, yet the teacher reproaches him all the time for his attachment to things. The other was surrounded by things, but did not receive the reproval of the teacher." Something to think about. There are seven traps that we must conquer in the mental plane, that we are resurrected by conquering these seven traps or steps. So the first one is called the thoughtless state of consciousness, the thoughtless state of consciousness. That's an interesting phrase, thoughtless state of consciousness. What is it? It's very scary, actually, to understand the thoughtless state of consciousness. It is when a person obeys the thoughts of others. When this happens, the person is like a machine, like an automaton. In other words, the interests of other people, their habits and jealousies and greed control people, and they obey those people like sheep. The person doesn't have a direction. They don't have a vision. They don't have purpose in life. So the person obeys the thoughts of other people. These people are very dangerous because they can be led in any direction you want because they are thoughtless. Their human soul is chained to the mental plane and needs to be resurrected. So, yes, this is what we are resurrecting, our unfolding human soul. This is why, for those of us who are striving to become initiates in our vision to serve hierarchy, we need to resurrect our unfolding human soul, our spark, from these traps in the mental plane. That was number one, the thoughtless state of consciousness. Number two, the earthly thought stage. Once we catch our thoughts and start to think, and we begin to use our mind, this is when we enter into the second step, and it is called the earthly thoughts stage. At this stage of life, of the soul, the person thinks only about earthly interests. For example, they think only about their body. Their urges and drives are very important. Their position, possessions and land and house, they are stuck to the earth. See, and this is a very, very great trap. Millions of people are stuck there. They are chained and frozen there and cannot see beyond. It is very difficult for these people to achieve resurrection. Remember, Christ said, the kingdom of God must be taken by violence. This means we must use all our efforts and energy and daring and courage so that we release ourselves. We must use all our efforts and energy and daring and courage. I said that millions of people are stuck in this step. How is that? Okay, so for example, we're stuck to something very beautiful, and we really adore it. We love it. It may be our food, our property, our house, but then something comes and takes it away. For many incarnations, things are taken away from us. Eventually, we learn. We learn that earthly thoughts are not permanent, and that they are the only sources of suffering and pain. Interesting. And number three, the third stage is called the stage of disintegrating thoughts. These thoughts are based on lies, on hypocrisy. They are not true. They are just made up. These kinds of thoughts are very dangerous for the space. Humans think that space is polluted by fuel emissions, smog, and radioactivity. Well, of course it is. But the greatest pollution that we have at present is the disintegrating thought forms in space. Some of you may have read a book called Glamour, A World Problem by Alice Bailey. There are amazing exercises in that book to help dissolve these disintegrating thoughts more rapidly. Just a It's very challenging. So what we're going to be doing is disintegrating lies. A great one made a remark that the angelic kingdom decided to leave humanity because they said they could not breathe this air in these decaying thought forms. What are decaying thought forms? They are any kind of thought based on lies and hypocrisy and distortion. I think this is why in the Native Indian tradition, they've taught us about the power of saging, you know, your meditation room, your sanctuary, your home, wherever people come in and out of, but also where you yourself come in and out of. Saging with the right kind of herbs will help to disintegrate those negative, deteriorating thought forms. A great one says that we cannot send our directions to humanity because they are polluted when they are passing through our spheres, the subjective world. I'm going to crack a joke, and I best not. This is Easter, so. Oh, I can't do it. It's like right in the tip of my tongue. Anyway, think about saging, okay? The fourth is the trap of the state of ugly and criminal thoughts intentionally built for criminal purposes. These kinds of thoughts create very great distortions in the balance of space because they provide vehicles for the dark forces to approach and influence humanity. In this thought world, humanity is trapped once a person has started to think in hatred and anger and fear, in greed and even in jealousy. Their thoughts are very, very powerful emanations of poisons. These poisons not only create a black sphere around the person, but also around the planet. The beneficial forces and energies, when they are trying to penetrate into the human kingdom and lead them from darkness to light, they meet impossibilities. Sometimes it is impossible to penetrate into that darkness. That is why the wise person said, "Great is the darkness, I follow thee." There is no other way. Either we are going to follow him or we are going to be lost. The Christ and the Mother of the World. If a person conquered that, then they become resurrected. Humanity is trying to resurrect itself from these four traps. The next three, this is number five, the next three steps are no longer traps, but they are resurrecting steps. The fifth step is thoughts inflamed by aspiration, thoughts inflamed by worship, by adoration, by beauty. I think this is a very interesting stage, and this is why. It is at this stage that the person first finds themselves. They truly find themselves. For the first time in their life, they feel that they are a human being because their thoughts have wings. They have great aspiration, great adoration, great worship, ecstasy, and bliss. I think this is why we love music so much. Beautiful poetry, beautiful painting. We love nature because in these elements we find ourselves. And in finding these elements, we begin to aspire toward being someone greater. These thoughts are also nourishment for the angelic kingdom. The Bhagavad Gita, the Vishnu Purana, the Upanishads all spoke about this. They said that our thoughts provide nourishment for the great angelic kingdom. Then they come and nourish themselves from our beautiful thoughts, which open like flowers. They also inspire us with their vision, with their impressions that come from the higher worlds. That's number five. Number six, beneficent thoughts. Thoughts such as, how can I help others? That's a beneficial thought. How can I help others? How can my life make my life a service for humanity? For disciples, this thought is connected, infused with the plan of the hierarchy. Because the plan of the hierarchy is only for the service of the one humanity. You are going to ask yourself, how can I make my physical, emotional, and mental vehicles a service for humanity so I can uplift humanity? How can I go and help those who are suffering and are caught in pain? How can I lift humanity so that they get out of their prisons and into resurrection, into liberation? Do you see what is happening here? The life of the disciple is the life of transmission of the plan of the hierarchy. So that's beneficent thoughts. And number seven is creative thoughts. Creative thoughts are totally related to the purpose of God, the goal of life. The purpose of life. This is the purpose of creative thoughts. Creative thoughts are related to the purpose of life. You can ask yourself, why am I here? If you are to be resurrected, then you are going to tell yourself that you need to work harder. If you are here to manifest the highest potentials that are latent in you, then you need to work on yourself to reveal them. If you're here to reveal the one self in every human being, in every living form, you should not waste 1 minute. You need to begin to work on yourself. When you start to live in this seventh level of consciousness, you will slowly penetrate into the superhuman kingdom, the next kingdom. You will be resurrected now from physical, emotional, and mental levels. You will be facing illumination, total illumination. And this is what resurrection is, total cosmic illumination. In conclusion, unless we conquer these seven steps or stages and enter into illumination, we are not yet resurrected. So resurrection is victory over the mind, over your thought mechanism, victory over your thinking, so that daily not a single thought pollutes our aura or channels an evil force to the planet? Can we control our thinking? Can we keep our thinking really pure? Really, really pure. Resurrection means to achieve the primordial, the essential state of our consciousness, of our beingness, the essential state. When we become pure selves, we achieve resurrection. Resurrection takes effort, it takes energy, it takes direction, it takes dedication, it takes a tremendous labor so that eventually we are not trapped within our own body, urges and drives, within our emotions, our negative emotions, our irritations and fears, and so forth. So on this weekend of Aries and Easter, resurrection, let us go forward.